And hello to the Deuce Podcast.
Yes, welcome.
Episode 6, entitled The Sandlot 2.
Oh boy, Sandlot 2.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we're here to drop this big deuce called The Sandlot 2. It is a sequel to the classic, I would say.
Cult yeah, classic, it's a, kind of. I would say classic. The Sandlot's a classic.
I think so. It's a wonderful movie. The first Sandlot, Sandlot 1. I guess there's three in the series.
Yes, three yeah. That I know of.
Yeah, okay. So if you've not seen The Sandlot 2, congratulations. But if you want to watch The Sandlot 2, you can rent it online for $2.99. We did through Amazon. You can on other streaming services, including Apple, Vudu, or you can buy it for $14.99.
Which I would suggest not. Which I don't recommend. Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Now, this is a little bit different than most of our...
This is our second in the baseball sequels.
Yep, it's our second in the baseball series. There are not as many baseball sequels as you would think. This being one of the three that we could come up with off the top of our heads. And even friends of the podcast, Alex and Brandon, had the same three that they came up with. So literally maybe the only three... Like, at this point, I was hoping there was, like, a Bull Durham 2 or
a Field of Nightmares.
Yeah, correct. Which this movie is. but there is an Angels in the Infield.
Yeah, but it's not a baseball.
Yeah, this infield is.
Oh, yeah. But
it's the third. It's
that's
the third,
but
in the series.
The second one.
The sequel is actually Angels
football?
In the End Zone.
Right.
Yeah. So it didn't quite fit.
Didn't count.
We didn't want to skip to the third. But this one actually does kind of. It's going to be kind of the exception to the rule here because we generally try to stay away from like direct to DVD, direct to video releases. And this is one. But we were willing to give it a shot because, hey, the first one is such a classic and so heartwarming that why not try this? And it just went straight past heartwarm to heartburn.
Yeah, so. I would say so. Yeah. Rolates.
Yeah.
Is what you need. So we're about ready to drop this deuce for Sandlot 2. Go ahead.
Okay. So as we start the movie, actually before we started... I just looked up the description.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so it says, it basically, so actually first I'm going to read this, and then I will attack on the first part. So, a team of Sandlot baseball playing boys and girls take over the Sandlot and must overcome the successor to the monstrous dog using overwhelming speed. And actually it starts off 10 years after a team of Sandlot baseball playing boys and girls. So, essentially, it's the Sandlot again. It's just like the same thing, and they use the same dog premise, and they go through all that.
It's carbon copy, you know, with a little bit of differences.
Yeah, they tweak a little bit here and there, and I think just to, the times, they were like, we'll make it a little bit more diverse of a cast. And that was, like, their contribution to the story.
Well, it's 10 years later.
Yeah, it's 10 years later. It's,
so it's 1972.
Yes, so...
And I'm saying that because there's something I got to tell you
comes
up later.
So at this point, we have a very multicultural cast.
It's about 10 years later from the original.
Racism, sexism, and ableism are all gone. So we have a very diverse group now. Actually, at the beginning of the movie, it starts off with a flashback.
Right.
The first thing that it does is it calls back to the first movie and actually shows footage from the first movie.
It looks like previously on Sandlot. You know, like TV shows are like, previously on Breaking Bad. I don't even know if they do that. I don't really watch Breaking Bad.
And it makes the first movie sound like a Greek epic. Like they're just like they valiantly challenged the beast and blah blah blah. Like, I mean, it's very like dramatic the way they describe it.
Yeah,
it's very much like it very much has that like heroic journey kind of sound to it. But it's narrated by Smalls. Here's a hint. Not the Smalls from the first movie.
Well, it's 10 years later, yeah.
Yeah, they say 9 more kids come together in 3,000 days later is what they say.
Oh, yeah, they were very specific.
Very
about
specific. 3,000 days later.
Someone counted those.
Yeah, so now it's 1972. 9 more kids come together to stop the shadow of the beast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So at first I thought it was some sort of satanic thing, but I guess it's not. So,
you are a devil if you're going to watch this movie, though.
We open with there's this kid who's like building a rocket on the sand lot, mm-hmm. To launch it, and it's Johnny Smalls, so Scotty's brother, Scotty from the first movie. It's Johnny Smalls, his little brother. And who I believe is played by John Mulaney. he kind of looks like John Mulaney's progeny.
He really does.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So he's setting up this...
He looks like the turd of John Mulaney.
He does look like John Mulaney's turd.
Yeah.
Turd Mulaney.
Yeah.
So, so he's setting up a Saturn IX rocket in the sandlot. But they cut then to... they say David Vincent Durango... who I'm sure they looked at that name from a porn star, but
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so
I was just
David,
thinking like David, the Jeep Durango.
Oh yeah, David Vincent Durango. He is like, I thought they were supposed to be in high school or junior high, but I think he's a sixth grader. I think they're 12 or 13.
I think they're like 12 or 13, except Smalls is a little bit younger. He's
yeah,
like
Smalls is
grade?
The youngest.
He's
and
small.
Yeah, and they say he's in. Like, he's kind of at that point where he's debating whether being a kid or kind of, like, moving on to adulthood.
And we're debating on whether continuing to watching this movie. At
yes,
the same time,
at this
so.
Point. And already,
you know, we identify with him in that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it
we're
makes
both
sense.
Going through crossroads.
Yeah. David bumps into another girl who is new to school. And he, of course, is so enamored with her, he can't speak.
Everything is very
away.
70s because
yeah,
it's 1972. So there's like, you know, people with, for some reason, there's a lot of bell bottoms,
yeah.
Flower piece kind of signs.
Yeah.
I said it was like if Nickelodeon produced That 70s Show.
That's actually perfect.
I mean,
I was
it's
just going to say that.
You know what I mean?
It's like it's 70s outfits, but they look so brand spanking new
right.
And like shine. Not. It's hard to describe. They look like they're. They look like they're 70s clothes that were made in the, you know, in 2000
right.
Something. They don't look like they're actual 70s
right.
Clothes. You know, like they don't have quite the right look. Mm-hmm. So the other Sandlot kids at this point come running up. We start getting an introduction to them. So there is Mac, who is this... The kid, you might remember him as the kid, his name is Brett Kelly, he was the kid from Bad Santa,
yeah,
and he was
or
in
treat.
Trick or Treat,
yeah.
And something else lately, who and Bad Santa 2, who is now a gigantic goonie-looking kid.
Right.
There's Tarkel, which is their black friend.
Who says one word?
Who says
throughout the whole movie?
He says a few things, and usually he's talking about two things. If he says anything, he's talking about two things. You got to watch out for women who are empowered,
right?
Because he's like, oh no, or no, liberated. Oh, she's a liberated woman. That's like what he keeps talking about because his mom is liberated. He says, and the other thing is that he continues to say the word solid all
solid.
The time and does like the power fist kind of thing at the
yeah,
same time.
Solid, dude.
And so that's like his gimmick, apparently, saying solid and doing that. They've also dressed him like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, he looks like a cross between like somewhere between like Jimi Hendrix and one of the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was
like
going to say Urkel, but yeah,
between,
go with that.
Turkel, who is Tarkel, who is Urkel's dad. Stephen Tarkel. Then we have the interesting one, and only interesting for one reason. So there's Saul, who is there basically to translate for his brother, Sammy, who, as the movie progresses... they begin calling him Fingers, and
not because he gives good massages.
Yes, actually, the reason they call him Fingers is because he's deaf and he signs. So
So let's give him that nickname.
So we're going to call him Fingers because
he actually has more lines than Turkle. If you think about it.
He actually does have more lines than Turkle. But the interesting thing with these two, because they're just kind of there. The interesting thing about them is that Saul drives a bike.
Yeah.
That has, like, pretty welded cool. to the side of it is, like a sidecar right. piece that Sammy Fingers rides around in.
Right.
That is freaking awesome.
Oh, right?
If I had a bike with a sidecar, man, it wouldn't technically be the coolest, but it would be the coolest thing ever.
I would ride it every day.
Yeah, hell yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I bike around on that. You can ride on the sidecar.
Sure. We could solve crimes.
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
That's the way to do this.
Oh.
But yeah, that thing is cool. And every time it was on screen, I was like, everybody step away from it. I just want to look at it for a little bit.
I think all of our cases would be like bicycle thief cases, though.
Yeah. You know. Oh, they got away in a car. There's no way we're catching them. So the kids ride up to the sandlot because they're talking about the girl who he bumped into. Her name is Haley Farrer. Farrer? Anyway, but
On IMDb, the facts about this movie were this was her only movie.
Yeah,
and
makes sense.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has a bitch in Southern accent. It's
oh,
fantastic.
God. Hi,
y'all.
Southern accent goes in and out. It's like a Sissy Spacek kind of Southern accent,
ooh,
kind of in a way.
Youch.
Yeah.
Like a Paula Deen kind of thing. Yeah. So the kids, the boys ride up to the sandlot, and they see Johnny with his rocket, and they go, oh no, they sent somebody to blow up the sandlot, which seems odd to me,
right.
Because even if you blow it up, it's still a sand lot.
Right. You could get more sand.
Yeah. And so
problem solved.
They all decide to get together and attack the little child who is setting up this toy rocket because they think he's going to blow it up. And as they ride, they go over the cord that was to launch the rocket, so it tips it over. Well, it's already started launching, so it flies into the dugout and through the sofa. Now this is like, there's no way. What did you load that with? TNT? Like, there's nothing that should have shot it through a sofa. So
I know
he didn't
load that rocket with the plot because it did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have.
There's no way.
Yeah,
it would have exploded everywhere, which eventually it did.
Yeah. So well, they start chasing Johnny. They chase him over a fence into the neighbor's yard. Come to find out, next to the lot is where Haley lives. And so she tells them to get off her property and leave Johnny alone. In the meantime, Fingers turns around and sees the sofa is on fire now and burning.
Somehow.
Yeah. And
how did that happen?
It's burning from the rocket. I don't know. And frantically is signing about it to basically, you know, oh, God, there's a fire. So
right.
They asked to use the hose to put it out. The hose is like 30 feet too short, but somehow I think they put it out. I don't know. So Haley, in the meantime, is standing there petting this cat. Like she's working this cat like it's like it owes
like,
her money.
Like
yeah.
She's a Don.
Yeah.
From the mob.
And yeah, she looks like she's a member of the Future Supervillains of America Club at school. and so she tells Johnny that he now works for her since she saved his life.
There
and
she is.
He owes her.
A mobster kind
yeah.
of way.
But that cat looks like it's in pain.
Later on it will be.
So the next day, Johnny shows up, and we learn that her dad works for NASA. And he is ecstatic because his life is all about rockets. Like, he loves rockets. You know, like he was shooting one up at the beginning, and like he's working on other ones.
It's the actor from Ned and Stacy, a defunct sitcom starring Deborah Mason and Thomas Hayden Church. Thank you, I know that. Or he's from Ally McBeal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he's kind of awkward and whatever, and he goes about his business. Also, the kid who plays Johnny is terrible. Like, he's just like, yes, sir, I will, blah, 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 blah. Yes, oh, Oh, that's great, sir.
I mean, it's at the beginning, he has like a high pitched voice, and then like I think he went through puberty, but he still sounds.
I don't think he did that. Really? He just got whiny.
Oh.
So he's not Haley tells him he's going to be doing chores. So he's out there working on the sandlot, and she's out practicing softball with her two friends who we had briefly seen at the beginning. Their names are Penny and Jenny, of course. Well, the boys ride up and, of course, are mad that the girls are on there and that they've redone the dugout into something that doesn't look like it's infested with
lice.
At
one time, they say, oh, the dugout looks like a doll's house, which I'm like, oh, wow, they're making reference to Ispin. Like, and I was like, wow. And then I realized, no, they're not. No, because that's a good play. This is not.
Ispin would be proud.
Ispin would be proud.
So the boys spout off a bunch of sexist stuff. The most aggressive is the kid from Bad Santa. Like, he is not letting it go. You know, my thought is he probably picked that up from Billy Bob Thornton and was just ad-libbing, and they were just like, just roll film.
And he's very much like military. He's got like camo on.
Yeah.
Very much is a military
guy. A lot of
shirts
with no sleeves.
Yeah, I call him George Patton's son because he's just a sexist.
You know, his baseball helmet. And
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. His baseball helmet was like a military helmet.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
But they don't really talk about the fact that, and so it comes back that he's wearing military garb a lot of times, but they don't really talk about how obsessed he is with the military until like the last scene, when I'm like, oh, maybe you should have mentioned that.
We kind of assume
he is. We can assume, but like, yeah. So then he says, so this is the first time we heard anybody call Sammy Fingers, maybe because he goes, what are you, deaf? Sorry, Fingers. And I just wrote, did they call the deaf kid Fingers?
Like the nickname is just, ooh. Yeah.
So we start getting into this debate because girls are practicing with a softball and they're saying, no, men play with baseballs and we're better because of that. And so they get into this big debate, and Haley says that she bets that she can strike him out in 3 pitches. He says, I don't bet trash. I burn it.
What does that mean?
I know. It's a little aggressive, and B, you really need to work on your insults a little bit more. Like, right. I was like, whoa, that's... that's odd. So they start this little baseball montage or the softball montage of them getting ready. The music is all over the board at this point, so it's got like,
I don't like the music.
It's got this
movie.
Underlying like, it's got this like doop 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 like goofy theme like you would see in like movies where it's the happy-go-lucky stuff, but like also playing over the top of that is like dramatic action music. So it's like
that's very weird. And also like the real songs in the movie, I think, are cover songs.
Yeah,
because they're gonna get the rights to.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm like, okay.
And then at one point, she says, don't blink or you'll miss it. And he goes, bring it on, skirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a quick way
to... It's 1972.
So, literally, she pitches it and he blinks and he completely misses it, doesn't know it, even goes by him.
Right.
So then he's like, okay, we're screwed. I'm not going to be good enough to do this. So David steps up. And David and Haley square off. So they are playing up on that, like, oh, we hate each other because we love each other kind of thing.
Right.
So every time she pitches a ball, he hits it, but they're always foul balls. So they just keep going.
They go
the whole
on
time.
And on.
And I think that's supposed to be their equally matched kind of a thing.
Right. But I said the last time I saw so many foul balls was a leather night at a gay bar.
Oh.
What? I'm just saying, that was a lot of foul balls. They went on forever and ever. I just thought, like, don't you strike out?
No.
Like, if you get foul balls, you keep going?
Yeah.
Okay,
It counts up to 2 strikes, and after that, then there.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought he had, like, 2 strikes
fouling
before.
We've been to some of these games where we're like, geez, stop fouling.
Yeah, right.
Somebody just slap it back in.
Sports, yay.
So they decide to leave because Haley has to come in for dinner, and David's mom calls across the city that, come in, it's time for your bath. Right. And even the other kids are like, did your mom say you have to, like, you have to come in for your bath? And he's like, shut up.
Like, so, is that like a kid thing?
Well, like, you don't usually have to be called in for a bath when you're like 12. Whatever.
I mean,
yeah. So, so they agree to come back the next day. Later, they are like, you know, why are you here? And are all over Johnny the next day. All the kids are all over Johnny, and they're like, why, you know, you were going to blow this up for Singleton. He goes, who the hell's Singleton? I don't know who that is. And then they realize, oh, wait, he's not working for Singleton. John Singleton, whoever. But he's not working for this
Boys
rival
in the
Singleton.
Hood in the sandbox.
So then no one will leave the field. So suddenly, because they're like, hey, girls, go home. And the girls are like, no, boys, go home.
Right.
And Johnny runs back and forth delivering the message. Finally, the sexist kid is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a lot of merit. These women are fine ball players. They should be part of our team. Like,
yeah.
He does like a 180. Like, he must have gone home and been like, wow, I have things to work out.
Maybe.
And like, kind of.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for you. What is in Mac?
Mac, okay. Yeah. So then Mac asks the girls to join the team, and they agree. So everyone suddenly is getting along, except for David. He's mad at the other guys for being so chummy with the girls all of a sudden. But then they decide they're going to go and see Singleton and his people play, because they're the professional little leaguers.
Right.
So they face off against Singleton's team in biting wordplay. And by biting, I mean the wordplay bites. It was pretty bad.
Your mama wears combat boots.
Yeah, like your mom wears combat boots, this and that, you know, normal stuff. Until finally, Singleton says that Mac plays like a girl.
Yeah.
And then everybody gasps and retreats, kind of. And then, except for now we have girls on the team. So Haley's like, oh, hell no. And so she challenges them to a game at the Sandlot.
At the Sandlot, yeah.
So prepare for the one bit of baseball in this
movie. Yeah, that's true.
So, there's not a whole lot of baseballing going on. Like, you see them play a little bit here and there. Like, you know, like when they were trying to hit the ball and kept hitting foul balls and things.
Right.
It's the only time you see them play
like a
full game.
Real kind of game.
Yeah. So I think if I remember right, they beat them. I kind of tuned that piece of it out.
Wait, did they go to the carnival yet?
Oh, that's right. They go to the fair that night.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So they go to the fair, and we learn Johnny says this is how they learn how Haley, David, and Johnny are all connected.
I said, what, they all know Kevin Bacon?
Apparently.
Like, I'm like, what?
So earlier there's a dog walks by, and David looks nervous, and so that's all they talk about it. And then they go to a Bigfoot exhibit at the fair, and they see, like, a Bigfoot, like, model that's set up there.
Can I go back? It's not a fair. It's a parking lot carnival.
Oh, it's a parking lot carnival.
Keep it classy.
Yes.
There, Sam Lot, too.
The Bigfoot is so awkward that David panics. so he goes outside to get some air. When Johnny follows him, he sees a bite on the back of David's leg. So my theory is he's either been bitten by a dog or a Bigfoot.
Right. Makes sense.
One of those would. I mean, he obviously got.
I'm
going to
guess the latter.
Bigfoot.
I mean, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. According to my history of Sandlot, wasn't there a big lot in the first or a Bigfoot
in the first?
A
big lot.
There was a big lot.
There was a big lot. It's where they got all the seeds and whatnot. So while they're there, Saul, who we now remember is in this movie. Is basically Finger says he's going to go on something, a ride or something, and he goes, I'm supposed to watch you so you don't go over by the kissing booth again.
Right.
And he says, no, he won't do that. Signs, no, he won't do that.
Right.
And so There's this little bit where he's like too short to go to the kissing booth. And he grabs platform shoes that are like on the bike sidecar for some reason.
No clue.
And so he walks up to the kissing booth. And so he is like, okay, a kiss. She's like, a kiss on the cheek, and he kind of shakes his head. He agrees. So she goes to kiss him, and he just like starts forcibly making out with her.
Right.
Which sends this adult into a tizzy. And they're like, oh, my God, we got to run. So they all run
off.
She's
like, I remember that kid from last year. I remember him from last year.
Really? Like, how many kids do you make out with?
How many horny, deaf, young children do you make out with?
Yeah.
One.
And
every year.
It looks the same.
Right.
And so they ride away on their bikes, the narrator says, we never spoke of that night again, mostly because what happened the next day. Such an awkward line. It was like, wait, what? I think we rewound it and listened to it again, didn't we? Because we were what does that mean?
Because it didn't make sense. Like, why would you write that?
I don't know. Why would you write any of this?
I don't know.
So,
I want to forget about that night, mostly because about what happened the next day.
Yeah, so the next day is the game.
Is the game, yeah.
And they're playing, and the girls are doing well, mm-hmm. and everybody's doing great. So at the end, Haley hits a ball. Like, yeah. She's going to be running into home because everybody's kind of bobbling the ball back there. So she's running into home. Well, they throw the ball, and Singleton actually runs up and, like, much like Congress, to prevent a woman from being his equal, he punches her in the ovaries. And she just goes down like a sack of bricks. And so they were like, whoa, that is bullshit, dude. And so David comes up and punches Singleton in his face and then basically just sends him packing. And
right.
We never see that character or any of his cohorts again.
What, Singleton?
Yeah.
You see him later on.
Do we?
Yeah, when at the end and they there's like a puddle by him and they're running and they spray the puddle on him. It's when they're chasing the dog at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really not that
important.
That's
not really. No. Yeah, he doesn't really do anything else.
No, but we see him, I'm just saying.
He has no more lines. How about that?
Thank you.
Yeah. So, then we have this bit about, so that's that part of that story is done. So then we come back to Mac got an aluminum bat as a gift. So nobody's ever hit anything over this junk wall where the fence from the first movie was that had fallen down, if you remember the movie. There's now a giant wall built out of, like, junk. Like,
right, that Fred Sanford erected.
Correct.
It looks like Fred Sanford's house.
Right, right. And so this aluminum bat, of course, gets it so he can hit the ball further. So he hits the ball over the junk wall. And they all run to go get it. But Smalls stops them and tells them the story of the Great Fear. So now we head
into... But it, like, turns into nighttime at some point. And
well, they
like,
go...
What was that?
Like, he's like, they
meet
said...
Meet me at the park bench and I'll tell you about...
No, they come back to the same spot, but at night. But they go get, like... camping gear.
But just tell the story right
then. I don't know why they had to come back for
it. Why do you have to come back? Get the s'mores. We gotta tell you the story.
How can I have a s'more if I've never had one? No classy move. No quotable moments like that on this one.
No.
Not even
you're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
They don't even say that.
No, we were waiting for it.
They have a character named Smalls, and they don't say the most famous line in the movie.
Yeah, what kind of...
I'm saying it.
What
I'm
kind
saying,
of direct-to-DVD sequel are
I'm saying don't kill me, Smalls, with your bad acting.
So we now launch into the second flashback about the first movie. And Smalls tells us that the dog, the Great Fear, is Hercules' son. So Hercules was a dog from the first movie. He had some puppies. The puppies were all adorable, but there was one who was really mean and just, he bit everything he could and nobody wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
So the owner kept him, but the owner, Mr. Myrtle or whatever, he had him chained up, and one day the dog gets out and he chases this kid, which I think called like the Rapid Rocket or something like that.
Right.
Who's dressed as a superhero, getting ready to go to school. The dog is chasing him.
He looks like a band member from the Aquabats.
Yeah, he looks like him. Yeah, he looks like an Aquabat. Like an Aquabat with like a red cowl. Yeah,
instead of like, what is it, blue or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's chasing him, and the kid is supposed to be really fast, so he thought he could outrun him. And it's like chasing him around to surf rock music, and at this point, for those of you familiar with the movie Six String Samurai, it reminded me of a sequence out of that where they're all just kind of running and making sounds for no reason. But eventually, the dog catches up with the kid and bites him. So bites him on the back of his leg.
Right.
Where else have we seen a bite on the back
of
the leg?
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
Even though we kind of do.
Yeah, even though most people could probably figure it out by now. So as a result, they built the junk wall so the dog couldn't go past it, and they permanently chain him up.
But I'm also like, dude, you're building a junk wall.
Yeah.
Why not just put the dog down? He bit a kid.
Right.
Don't, like, the way you fix it isn't build the junk wall with old washer and dryers.
Well,
Put the dog down.
That way he can't get through.
And
part of that was they then used, like, one of those thick, like, boat chains and attached it to a boat anchor so he couldn't get away.
Right.
So they said he just went crazier and crazier and got meaner and meaner over time. So they decided they're not going to go over there to get the ball that Mac hit.
Right.
So
the story, whatever, that's not a great story.
Yeah.
We don't believe you.
Yeah. So then it's 4th of July.
Yeah.
Johnny buys enough ordnance to wipe the Sandlot off the map.
Like, okay, this is the same kid that almost burnt down the whole Sandlot.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. As your dopey friends, you're like,
yeah,
maybe you should buy two big boxes of fireworks.
Yeah.
And set them off in the Sandlot.
They even commented, because he's like, two of them, please. And they were like, what the hell are you going to do with two of these?
But even one of them was taller than him.
Yeah, right. So he sets off this. He basically does a mega fireworks display. They had a pool party at Haley's house, and had a mega fireworks display and all this kind of stuff. And launches off this rocket that explodes and makes an American flag in the sky, which is
set to the song "California Baby."
Yes,
who I said is probably from the Bleach Boys, because it's very generic and sounds like the Beach Boys.
But
I think you just want to drink bleach after.
That's correct. Yes. So then, let's see here. He says that he's doing all this with the fireworks. They're like, do you really need all this? And he's like, are you kidding? And basically says he's a patriot. That's why he's doing it. That he's American. So
American. American.
Yeah, the kids. Anyway, before the fireworks, so the kids all. Are going swimming, but David backs away and says he doesn't want to, and it's stupid. Well, it's because he doesn't want anybody to see the bite on the back of his leg. That was.
Is it that, or maybe he just doesn't know how to doggy paddle? Oh, see what I did there?
Woo! Good night, folks. Anyway, but he doesn't want anybody to see his Bigfoot bite, so he's got his socks pulled up to his knees just to prevent that.
And thank God that was the fashion. The big, long socks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Haley's dad, who we learned his name is Roger, basically he decides that he's going to, he agrees to spill national secrets to Johnny because he wants to impress a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
So because nobody else, they all think he's a dork, and that's the kid actually loves that. So he's like, cool, we'll launch a rocket together. Just come back and we'll do this.
And
he's like,
Friday,
okay,
whatever. Yeah, come back Friday. We'll do this.
Fireworks. So we have all that goes off. But then Johnny shows up the next day, and he just misses because Roger and Haley's mom are like, oh, we have to hurry to the airport. So they're running to get into the car to go to the airport. Now, why he invited Johnny over, I think maybe it was the date changed or something.
Yeah, I think the date changed. He's going to the press conference
for NASA. He's going to a conference for NASA, but he doesn't close the door all the way. So Johnny heads over to meet him to launch the rocket off, and he sees a giant model of the space shuttle.
Yeah.
And, like, the solid fuel rockets and everything to go off. And he's like, wow, this must be where we're supposed to fire off. So I'll get it ready. So he goes to the sand lot and basically gets all of this ready to send this up. And so he's waiting and waiting. And he falls asleep.
Well, actually, I love this that one scene where he's like, you're one lucky astronaut. And then he just duct taped it to it.
Yeah, he always
yeah, you're a lucky astronaut, aren't you?
Guy to it, yeah. Which is where they actually ride to. They just taped him to the outside of it. So he takes the prototype, gets it all set up, and he starts dozing off. And he drops the controller and it lands
perfectly to where the launch button just hits.
Yeah, and the great part about it is this thing launches just like the real space shuttle. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like it's the whole like giant thing of fire. It's like slowly taking off and you see it like going through the sky.
It go through the skyline. It goes past a foot locker.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah, it goes past lots of foot lockers.
Okay, so it goes past a foot locker. I had to look this up. It's 1972. Foot Locker wasn't founded until 1974.
Oh, bastards.
Come on, Sandlot 2. Get your time frame right. Where are they getting their shoes at? Where are they getting their Nike shoes at? This fake Foot Locker that doesn't exist? Come on.
Boot Locker? Yeah, so it's flying, and he goes, oh, no. So the kid, like, panics. And, of course, it's like burned a giant hole into the ground where it took off from. So the kid's just standing in this hole.
So what you should do is give the kid that really can't act, give him more scenes.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. So he's standing and he's watching this. And like the booster rockets fall back down to Earth. So he picks those up and takes them back to to Haley's house and leaves them in the garage. Then comes back and is watching. And you see the space shuttle coming in for a landing. And it's like red on the bottom, like superheated, just like the real shuttle landing.
Well, the kids come out because they're watching the press conference.
Yeah. Yeah, they were watching the press conference.
So all the kids come out and witness the shuttle falling.
Yeah, because he says, oh, this is going to be, I'm working on something that's the future of space travel. And, you know, this is it. And of course, the kid, you know, pukes because he's so freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's watching the space shuttle come in. Gliding in for a landing, and it goes over them and over the junk wall. So now hilarity ensues.
Like Max, like, oh no, what are we gonna do? We're never gonna get it back.
Yeah,
and I just go, wow, Mac looks like Amy Schumer's younger Canadian brother.
God, he does. So now start the ridiculous plans to get it back. So Johnny first uses like this remote controlled toy apparatus that he created to go in there and like grab this hook and put on it to drag it out. But he gets part of the way and the Great Fear bites the toy and like launches it over to Penny's pool or Haley's pool.
Yeah, right.
Then Jenny and Penny come up with a plan. And Jenny and Penny's plan is to lower Haley's cat into the yard.
Oh, my God.
Suspended from a crane operated by the deaf kid.
It makes sense. Yeah. All this is solid.
It makes sense. Solid science.
So they should work for NASA themselves.
They're going to lower the cat. Oh, they do great things. They'll lower the cat over the shuttle, who will latch onto it with its claws, and then they'll pull it up. And they said, well, the cat only puts its claws out when it's scared. And they're like, well, the dog's in there, so it'll probably work out.
And why the deaf kid is controlling
it. Yeah, and so they'll tell him when to pull it up.
Yeah.
So, of course, the cat is hanging from this thing.
Because the deaf kid can hear screams.
Yeah, so the dog comes out, and you see the dog right in the face of the cat. And then they just show a montage of the cat, like, struggling for its life.
Right. We don't see the cat. But we see, like, fur.
Well, if you see it first, like, it's spinning. Yeah, you see it swatting, and then it cuts back to everybody else screaming. And they're yelling, pull it up, pull it up, pull it up. And the deaf kid is not hearing them, of course. And so he is just, like, chilling until somebody finally is like, hey, gets his attention. And he pulls it. Oh, and then there's this one spot where, like, the fur just flies in this big plume.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh, God, this is going to be gruesome.
We're like, oh, great.
They're like, we already knew where it was going. We're like, this is going to be gross. And so they finally pull it up. And, we were just like, oh, God, we were waiting for this. They pull it up.
Blood or something.
Now the cat is just like a bloody winch thing that comes. Yeah. Like, I just thought it was going to be like,
I'm like, oh, my
left.
God, they're going to go there.
Yeah. It comes up. And now instead the cat is hairless.
Yeah. It looks like one of those like hyperallergenic cats.
Yeah. Like the hairless.
The cat, hairless
yeah.
cats.
Yeah. The sphinx.
So obviously they just change the cat out.
Yeah. And it goes, and they all, like, scream, too.
And I'm screaming.
And we just groaned. So while sitting and wondering how that plan could have gone so wrong, some kid in a fringe jacket
rides
up. Who's
been, like, throughout the movie.
Yeah, like, a couple times we've seen him, and we're like, what the hell is that?
What's this kid?
Yeah.
This kid's going to be cool. He's going to come in and save the day, be all like, yeah.
So this is the first time we hear him talk, and he reveals he calls himself the Retriever. So he collects dog tags of dogs that he snuck past.
Sure.
Like he goes into there's a dog that chewed up his frisbee, and he vowed never to let that happen again. So he goes into yards.
All neighborhoods have one.
Yeah, and
Retriever.
Oh, the Retriever. Wow. Like the Grinder, but even worse. He goes in and gets whatever was lost over there, but then takes their dog tag, so then he wears them on a collar around his neck.
Sadistic. He's crazy.
So we go into this classic. So he's like, I'm going to go in there. He's like, this dog is the prize. I'm going to go in there and get his tag. And then hook this to your shuttle so you can get it back. So we go into this classic, whatever I do, don't open this door. And they go, okay. So he goes inside, of course, and the whole, let me out. And they open it, and he goes, what did I say? Don't open the door. So then he goes in there, and then you hear the dog, and he's like, no, yeah. Guys, really, open the door. Yeah. Comic classic.
Oh,
bit.
No.
Cheap
what are we
classic
doing?
Bit. So, but then the kid flies over the fence across the entire sand lot.
Yeah.
And into Haley's pool.
Yeah, the like, dog is an amazing
the dog player. Grabbed him and launched, put him in a cannon and launched him across
make
the way.
Make him the pitcher of the team. He's such a good thrower.
Yeah, right? So then the Retriever gives up.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it for him.
So Mac is so disappointed, he decides he's going to ride around and get his thoughts together. So Mac starts riding around, and he goes by a poster for The Great Escape, and then decides, maybe that's our answer. So then they spend the next few minutes digging and professionally reinforcing this giant tunnel with tracks, like, in it so that they can pull him back and forth.
Right.
I mean, like, this would have had to take forever to make. But
they only have 5 days to get the shuttle back. This would have taken 5 days to...
So he digs under there, tries to hook the hook to the shuttle, but the dog starts drooling on him. They pull him back and then barely cover the hole before the dog is freaking out. And then they make reference, the kid has crapped himself. So he decides to leave. So he walks away for a while. So then David's like, I have to do this. He busts out a pair of Nikes and explain who Nike was in mythology, which was okay. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sure.
And decides he's going to run in and get the shuttle.
Reebok was the god of lame.
Reebok bless this movie. Reebok be praised. So he puts on these new Nikes and then throws his vintage Converse tied together over the phone cable. And that's all that for some reason. Like, why not save those? Just you can only own one pair, whatever.
Yeah.
So then he also takes out a cape that he's going to take with him. He's the kid from the story.
Oh, man. Ooh. Oh, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
we all piece it together. So then he squares off with the dog. He kind of holds it like a matador cape. Mm-hmm. And when the dog comes at him, he throws it over his head. Slides, and this is like almost like visually taken shot by shot from the Sandlot. He slides, he hooks the thing to the and then starts pretty... running, and the dog is running back and forth, and he gets over the fence and the wall, but the dog has also climbed up the wall because he breaks off his chain,
right?
And so then now we have a this big, you know, we're gonna run and he's gonna chase him on his bike moment, kind of
throughout the town. Sandlot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the great fear breaks loose and chases David. Eventually he rides into a lumber yard with a beware of dog sign. I thought there's gonna be some sort of dog square off or something interesting was gonna happen. No such luck.
Wait, after an hour and 30 minutes, you thought something interesting was going to happen?
I thought maybe.
Okay.
I thought they were saving it up for something.
Okay.
So David then abandons his bike and just starts running on foot, which seems like that would be the worst option.
It would be the worst option.
But then David eventually makes it back to where he jumps over the wall back into the yard. And when he jumps back into the yard where he came from, he lands where the tunnels were and crashes through the ground and all the dirt collapses on top of him. And so they're like, oh my God, no, he's been buried alive. So they all run in there. And the dog actually is the one that digs
him out.
Like
the wall falls over. Right.
And the wall falls over too when all that happens. Just this big catastrophic whatever.
Yeah.
So... the dog actually digs him out because they mentioned earlier he's good at digging, so he dug the kid out and pulls him out of the dirt. And it turns out he's a gentle dog all along, contrary to everything we've seen where he, like, destroys stuff. He bit that aluminum bat in half earlier. He threw a kid over. There's nothing gentle about him.
He gave a cat a haircut.
Yeah, he's a dick. And for some reason, now he's like, see, he's a gentle giant, which is minor
at one point aggression issues. I put, because James Earl Jones comes back in this movie, I put James Earl Jones must be training dogs for Michael Vick.
Oh, God.
No, he must, because it's like time after time, he's known as this guy who breeds evil dogs.
Yeah.
I'm like, wouldn't you want to go around and going, you know, my dog's not bad.
So while the dog who is licking David in the face, he looks at his name tag and the name is Goliath. Ah,
damn you, Sandlot.
I wrote David and Goliath. Fuck you, movie.
Fuck you.
Like, I was so mad. I think we paused it and I was like, no, no.
I was like, oh, I felt that. I get hit over the head.
Yeah. With its ham fist.
Ugh, boom.
So they return Goliath to James Earl Jones, Mr. Myrtle, who again shows up at this point.
Yeah.
And he again runs through the plot of the first movie.
Yeah.
And says, this happened before because they didn't think they could knock on my door.
It's been 10 years.
Yeah. And so he was like, did you think I was also going to kill you kids? And they're like, yes. And he goes, yes. Well, that sucks. He's like, I've been trying to be nice. What the hell, man? And he's like, you knocked over my sculpture? And they're like, sculpture? And he's like, yeah, it was like, it's a dual purpose. It's a wall, but I want it to be a sculpture of all
this
stuff.
But he's blind, right?
Yeah.
How is he making this beautiful junk sculpture?
Blind people can do stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Ian and that deaf kid don't get along very well, but...
Yeah. James Earl Jones' nickname was, like, Shades, because the other kid's nickname is Fingers.
Later, he makes them promise He'll take down the fence so kids don't keep thinking he's mean.
Right, we don't want that.
As long as they'll keep playing baseball because he likes hearing them play baseball.
That's, you know, you should have done this a long time ago. Yeah. James Earl Jones, what happened 10 years ago?
Yeah, right.
Those kids didn't touch your heart, but
well, they even said
it took 10 years?
They said that most of the kids moved away.
Right, but still.
And so I think that maybe, like, they were resolved, but then when they
left,
not
a lot of kids were playing in the sandlot.
Yeah, and so it didn't really keep up. So, but the other thing was that they had to take Goliath on walks a couple times a week. So they're like, oh, okay. And he said, I haven't been able to walk him much, so he's been cooped up, which is why he gets so pissy. And they're like, okay. So then they're walking.
That's why he's pissy.
Yeah, so the dog walks out, and he's at this fence barking at another big dog. And they're like, "What? You know, why is he mad at that dog? What's going on?" And one of the girls, Penny or Jenny or whoever, was like, you boys... he's in love. That's his girlfriend. So apparently he has a girl dog. See, guys, come on. Goliath was just horny.
Like, oh, the whole time.
He just wants to get laid.
He bit David on the leg because he was a horn dog.
Yeah, because he needed it bad. So
it's the end of the movie.
And so then David and Haley kiss. Because they're turned on by the dogs having sex or something.
Stop.
I don't know why. Like, that's all of a sudden they're like, see, even dogs fall in love and they kiss.
So they go through the whole montage of like what happened to, just like they did in the first movie.
Yeah. So
where they're playing a baseball game. And
so Goliath and Tiny had puppies. Mr. Myrtle keeps two of them and gives three to the girls, one to each of the girls. Which I don't get the significance. I'm like, is that part of the next story or what? So I don't know.
We will never know.
And then, okay, so this was the weird. This is one of the weird parts. They said the retriever made his peace with the dogs, and you see him giving his like his chain to those other dogs.
Yeah.
And it says then his family moved to Australia. And eventually he became the host of a show on Animal Planet. Was he supposed to be Steve Irwin?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, you should have stuck with dogs and not stingrays.
Yeah, or just not bring him back. He was kind of a wuss.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was weird.
Whatever.
So
the other kids.
And then.
Backstories.
Yeah, so then they go through the main kids' backstories. So Mac... who wore all the military garb. So he joined the army. He was injured in the Gulf War, got a Purple Heart, and eventually joined the Peace Corps. Best, like, I was like, good for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's
okay.
I'm behind that one.
I'm behind that. We started up pretty good. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I'm down with that story.
Makes sense.
So Fingers and Saul. The first part was, they say... they started a record label for a new kind of music called hip hop. And we immediately paused.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I paused the movie right
there. No. You are not, this is not Sugar Hill Records. And you are not Joe Robinson and Sylvia Robinson.
No, there's no way.
So then we're like, okay, play again. And then it said they named their label Def Jam Records.
He even says it like that. Like he has to punch the joke.
Yeah, to punch the deaf joke.
Just in case you didn't realize he was deaf.
Like, okay, you are two very white kids, and basically you're saying you started Def Jam Records. You were not Rick Rubin or Russell Simmons, and you did all that for a joke. Like, at least make it, say they did one of the first hip-hop things or something.
Whatever.
But don't, like, name one that's easily verifiable to be like, no, you're none of these people.
I don't know.
And then it goes, it's kind of weird, it goes out of order, but they come back. I think it's because Saul can't have a story on his own because he's really just there to be a voice for Fingers. They come back around and they say, Fingers used his money to start a bubblegum company. called Kissing Booth Bubblegum.
They're like, you know it. It's the most popular gum ever.
Kissing Booth Bubblegum.
And I was like, Wrigley's? Because that's the most popular gum. Right?
Yeah.
Trident?
Yeah. I don't know.
Not Kissing Booth. Yeah.
Big League Chew. Would have made more sense.
Maybe. That would have been, you know, that would have made more sense.
So, now we get to, because that one was weird. It's just like escalated from weirdness from here. Next is Penny and Jenny. Of course, these two are just lumped together.
Yeah.
Penny and Jenny. Okay, so here's exactly. I wrote it down word for word what it says. Penny and Jenny didn't do anything more remarkable than the most difficult thing on earth, having three kids and living happily ever after with their families.
The end.
I know, we were like,
thank you, Penny and Jenny.
Yeah, wow. Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you. The throwaway characters with throwaway pasts or futures. Yay.
So then we come back to Tarkel. Okay, so Tarkel at this point has been here a little, most of, I think he said solid and done the fist like
three times.
Yeah, like three times.
He's
at
got
this point.
Like four or five lines in the movie.
Yeah, he's not in there. He's not doing much.
No.
So it says Tarkel was abducted by aliens on March 21st, 1986, and no one ever saw him again. And I was sat there, because I'm writing all notes while we do these. I just sat.
I just can't do it. At this point, it just, like, really, that's what you said.
Yeah. I sat here looking at the page and, like, looked up, like, wait, what did he say? So we couldn't let Tarkel apparently start a music label or do anything important or whatever.
Don't
so
let the black kid start the hip hop label.
Yeah, so he's
let
just
the deaf kid and his brother.
Def Jam, come on. And so, who are both like redhead kids,
right?
Anyway, so they basically just start this. But then, as he's, because every time they pass one of these kids, they fade away.
Right, just
as
like
he's
the first
like, yeah, they're fading away. So, as he's fading away, Tarkel goes, he does the fist, and you just see him mouth the word solid.
Yeah, they couldn't
right
even give him that line.
Right as he
faded. They couldn't give him that line.
Yeah, right as they faded
just
away.
As he's abducted by aliens.
Yeah, solid. So from
thanks
there on
for
out,
the anal probe, solid.
So from there on out, it's kind of like meh. So, Haley, she became a supermodel and a pitcher for the U.S. Olympic softball team, winning 2 gold medals. David, after being able to run so fast and whatever, they named him, renamed him David the Rocket Durango, like as Johnny,
right.
Or as the Jet in the first one. Benny the Jet.
Benny the yeah. Jet.
They said David and Haley kind of fell out of touch with each other, and they didn't see each other for 10 years. When he finally bumped back into her, she said, you know, don't you know, this is supposed to be where you ask me to marry you. And he did, and they lived happily ever
after. 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years, they bump into each other, and you're like, marry me.
We're
going
to guess
okay.
It's about 1986.
Marry me. 1982.
Well, no, they graduate. They,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I'm giving them a couple years.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
You know, 87, 88.
Oh, and in case you're wondering, Smalls went to work for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory at NASA.
Perfect.
Yes.
Boom.
So
done.
And then there's this weird little piece at the very end that says says David's shoes hung on that cable line, waiting for somebody, or like they just sat up there waiting until somebody rescued them down the road, but that's another story.
Yeah, because I cared about his shoes.
Yeah, well, and it shows like they fade and everything, but somebody grabs them, and I'm like, interesting, that must lead into the third movie. And spoiler alert, we checked out the trailer, because I kind of wanted to see if that's what
right.
happened. Like, if it was, it's kind
of
interesting.
Kind
it,
of
you
cool.
know, and maybe it's like a modern thing.
Right.
But what the third one is, there's a Luke Perry plays a professional baseball player who gets beamed by a baseball and wakes up in the past as whatever baseball player he is. And so, excuse me, wakes up as a kid and is reliving all of it, even though he's from the future. So I don't think it has anything to do with what
technically,
we're
I think that was the plot for season 5 of 90210, though.
It probably was. it was like, life on Mars.
So we can say that Sandlot 2 got deuced.
Yeah, it got deuced. All right. Deuced. We got deuced.
Well, yeah, we got deuced watching it, too. So that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people have to say about it. Jack D. LaMire gives it a 7 out of 10. Says, a fun family movie. He says, this movie, when I saw it, was pretty good. The story was kind of random, like having a Bigfoot dog, but the director did a good job of fitting everything in with the story. You could clearly tell that there was going to be a relationship between the guy and the girl, so when it happened, it was no surprise. The acting was okay. You could tell there was not the biggest; they were not the biggest actors, or even very good ones. Looking at their IMDb page, they have been in only one, two, or three movies. They, the way that they said some of the lines were not very good, the little dude was funny, and he was a good actor. I think they're talking about Smalls?
Yeah, no, that's very wrong.
Yeah, that's very wrong. And should really be in movies. I don't know what movies are. Non-direct videos?
Yes, that's what that means.
Overall, this is a good family film that is funny and entertaining and not hard to follow.
Yeah.
So that's what they said. Italian Babe said... 1 out of 10.
Ooh.
Just awful. Destroyed the original. I watched one with those blocks on ABC Family, and it had both the original movie and the sequel back to back. I had never seen The Sandlot before, so I watched it, and lo and behold, it was amazing. It was original, it was funny, and it had kids, which at the time I could relate to. Therefore, I thought that Sandlot 2 would be almost as amazing. I was wrong. The acting was horrible. The plot was exact copy of the original, only with different actors. It was a cheap carbon copy of the original. Plus, a lot of it made no sense. It had no purpose. My advice, don't see this movie. I will save you about an hour and a half of your time of doing it if you do not see this movie. It is not worthwhile. Kind of harsh.
Kind of fair.
Yeah, kind of fair.
I mean,
this is not a good movie.
No. And you know what, though? Like, I honestly, I don't think...
Even if the first one is so fantastic, and so it reminds me of, like, Stand By Me. I didn't think they could make a movie that felt like Stand By Me, but they did with the original movie.
Yeah.
Of Sandlot. This one... Even regardless of that being such a cult status,
yeah.
This is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
It is not good.
I would agree. And you know, but I don't blame the kids.
No, I mean, don't either.
And even that kid, the kid Smalls, where he was not very good, he could probably get better.
Yeah.
But he, like, it's because it's a carbon copy, I think, that it just does not make it very good. It's just, it's very awkward. It's like they're trying to capture it again, but they're trying to do new things with the same story. And so in order to do that, you either have to go, like, over the top. Like, now the dog is named Goliath, and he's even crazier than Hercules. Or you, like, change it. Like, instead of, baseball, you make it hockey or whatever. And, like, you know, I mean, they... There's only so many things you can do.
Yeah, I think that's called Mighty Ducks.
It is. That is the Bad News Bears on Ice. So,
we got our five questions then, right?
Yep. Let's look at our five questions here. So first off, what do you think was the best part of this movie?
I'm going to say the... this is so hard. There isn't a lot of good things in the movie. One of the good, a lot of the stunts are pretty good.
Yeah.
I really did like some of the stunts. And even though some of the kids are not really the best actors, I think Mac is decent.
Yeah.
And I think the kid who plays David gets the point across.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah.
What I mean? Okay. He is what he's supposed to be. The girl is not really that good. The kid that plays Smalls is not very good.
Yeah.
But that comes with practice and like what we said. What do you think the best part of this movie is?
I have two things. So first off, James Earl Jones.
Right. I mean, I was going to go there, but he's only in it for 2 seconds.
But yeah, but it's like the best 2 minutes right. of the whole thing.
Right, it really is.
But it makes me remember the first movie, and it's one of those things where it's like, I like that character with heart, where he's kind of that, where he was a gruff old man.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I don't want to be seen like this. You know, I like that you kind of learn the lesson with that.
Yeah.
And who doesn't love James Earl Jones? But, right. I have that. It makes me want to watch the first movie a little bit.
I feel like the script itself, like when the guy that wrote it, because it's the same writer and director of the first movie, I feel like he didn't rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it. I think it was just like there was just so much that just didn't go, you know, it wasn't cohesive.
Right, I agree.
And it was just like, no.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I thought was the best part, that bicycle with the sidecar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I want that thing so bad.
Bicycle with the sidecar.
Oh, my God. I don't know why I ever asked for
it. Can I also say the fact that they put a character who is deaf in a movie like that is pretty cool. And the kid is deaf in real life. I think he's switched at birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that. I really actually enjoyed that. And the fact that they added girls in to the plot, too, was nice.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it worked, but I'm glad that they did do that.
And I like that their cast was very it was much more diverse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, it's a little forced, you know. Yeah. But it wasn't like they never made me feel like we have a black character because he's black.
Right. I don't think they were making fun of the characters or putting the characters down.
Yeah. It was, you know? They were just friends who were friends. Right. Like, that was it, you know? So, I mean, that was good. I did like that. But, second question. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
Okay, so I think you might actually like my answer. I say reboot this, but don't reboot it as a movie. Reboot it as like a children's comic book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kind of like have the original cast from the first movie, kind of like the adventures for them.
Yeah.
Maybe in between that moment from this movie and that movie, or whatnot. But I think like a children's comic book in a way, because I think you can have action in it through that and tell kind of a story and tell like these smaller stories.
Yeah.
Because I think what doesn't work with this movie is it's too long of a story.
Yeah.
Even the first movie kind of has broken stories up. There's a story inside a story.
Yeah.
I think with this, it doesn't work as well as the first one. So yeah, reboot it, but as a comic book.
I would give you that.
Yeah,
and or even like a series of like children's books, just in general.
Yeah, I don't think a movie is the right route, and I don't think a television
show wouldn't. No.
But I think there's enough nostalgia there.
Yeah.
For some kind of outlet. Yeah. That's why I said.
Or do like a midway thing where it's like not like, hey, it's the kids from the parents from the original one. Have like a, maybe, you know, like you have a means to flashback between the old Sandlot thing and like something new. And
the reason why I said like comic book is because you can use the same characters. You don't need the actors.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? You can draw the characters.
Yeah, so. Agreed. I said cancel.
Okay.
And I honestly would have just liked to have. This is one of those where you could have just left it after the first one.
You could.
And I think it probably would have been better to. Unless they would have had to make the second one something completely different.
Yeah.
And capture a magic in a different way.
In a different way.
But because it did not stand on its own, because it didn't stand like, didn't have anything that really made it unique, so it really didn't need to happen. Like, you should have just let that one go.
I think we're answering our next question, which is, does this movie stand on its own?
The next one doesn't stand on its own.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's a carbon copy.
Yeah.
Basically, someone sat down the script from the first one, scratched a couple things out, switched it around, put, like, expensive baseball, scratched that out, and put, you know, rocket.
NASA
rocket.
NASA shuttle model.
And then put it on a copy machine, pressed copy, and boom, the script came out.
Yeah.
This does not stand on its own.
And half the movie is exposition
about
the first
much.
Movie, Like, they keep going, have I ever told you about the first movie? And keep going back to it. Three times we went through that.
Right.
There's one other movie that has done that many times. And I think, was that Mission Impossible?
That we... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You like, mean the ones that we've done?
Yeah.
That we've reviewed? Yes.
And some of them have gone back and talked about the first one. But, like... and I think Miss Congeniality 2 might have done that a little bit, too.
A little bit, yeah.
Where we... But they... Like, it's like they have to remind you that this story is out there. It's like, yes, we know. Thank you.
Right.
So.
Especially if you watch the first one and you're going to watch the second one, I don't think anyone's going to really watch the second one first.
Right.
Without watching the first one.
Right.
I mean, they might, but I don't know. On ABC Family, which is now Freeform.
Freeform. would you want, does this make you want to watch the first one?
This is a hard question for me. I love the first one. Does this make me want to watch the first one? Yes and no.
Mm.
Probably because you said because there's a lot of exposition in it. So that part makes me want to watch it. But no, yeah. I don't think it does. You?
And I said roughly the same thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me... It reminds me how much I like the first one and how much I'm like, that's classic.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make me like go... Man, thank God that's done. I'm going back and watching the first one. Like,
this movie,
if it's on, it'll all watch.
This
it.
Movie took forever. Forever.
There's part of me that, again, is tempted to watch the third one. I want to know if the damn shoes mean anything.
I don't know why. You I think maybe it's because you're a completist.
Yeah,
you
I am
kind
very
of
much
like
a completist.
That,
yeah.
But I'm just like, no, I don't. Like, we saw that trailer, and I was like, no, that's a piece of trash.
But yeah, it looks like the trailer
Well, because it's a fish out of water. He's going back in time, a la Felicity Season 4.
Yeah,
no.
The trailer looks terrible, but I really want to know if those shoes mean anything.
They don't mean anything.
But
why
would you do that if it didn't
because
mean
I think
anything?
It's kind of symbolism of, hey, here's kids playing in the sandlot.
And yes.
You know, it's kind of that. Like, you know, passing the torch. I don't think it has anything to do with the third movie.
Also, I wanted to know if there was any significance to who got all those dogs. The James Earl Jones got two.
Right.
And each of the girls got one. And I kept thinking, if those dogs come up again, is it one of those five puppies that will eventually be dogs?
I think those dogs later are from Beethoven's Fifth, the
that
movie.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He wrote that, didn't he?
No, I think the fourth Beethoven's
movie. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sum this up in two words.
Foul ball.
Nice. That is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, carbon copy.
That's a good one too.
Yes.
Yep. So, our last says about Sandlot 2? What do you think?
Avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
If it was background noise, on Freeform while you were like, chopping vegetables for dinner, then you don't necessarily have to turn the TV off. And who knows? Maybe kids will enjoy it. Maybe this will be their Sandlot.
Watch the first one. Avoid this one. Watch Mighty Ducks. Watch, was it that soccer movie with
the
kid from Sandlot, The Big Green?
Yeah.
Watch something else. Do not watch this movie.
Ladybugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch Ladybugs.
So before we go, remember, folks, you know, if you can share this with folks, tell other people it's out there, or just if you want to download new episodes, you can find this at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Right. Or suggestions for more series that we're doing. I think after this one, we're going to do a comic book series.
Yeah.
Because of the comic cons that are happening that are out and about nowadays.
Yeah.
So.
You can also find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher, on Google Play. You can find us through our Facebook page,
right.
The Deuce Facebook page.
We try to drop the Deuce every Sunday.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to be doing Major League 2 with a special guest.
Yeah.
So that's going to be exciting because it's our first special guest.
It is.
So that's going to be great, and
it's
I can't
exciting.
Wait for that. It's going to be exciting. So we will see you then. We hope that you are enjoying the Deuce. We like bringing it to you. And remember, The sequel is king. Deuces.
Deuces.